We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your host, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to a special edition of the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Today, we have got for you audio from interviews we did with 1996 legends from the Steiner Sports Dynasty event that Scott and I attended back in August. Scott, that was a pretty cool event that we attended. I know we've talked about it at length, but the fact that we got these interviews with five key members of that 96 team was pretty freaking awesome.
It was awesome. The guys were extremely nice and just open to talk to us, you know, for a few minutes each and answer the questions that we had for them. I thought you actually did the interviews on the mic. I was the guy going up and like meeting the person and then introducing you. And we had Rich Kaufman, who was working, you know, one of the cameras, and my brother, who was there, was working another camera. We had like this like system going on throughout the when we got to this event. It was pretty awesome. It was the first time we had done anything like that too, which was really cool.
And for the first time that we did anything like that, it shockingly went really well.
It went extremely well. I mean, and it was, I think what, for a little, it was like 15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes that we went boom, 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 boom. We just went, started going, we just worked the room really fast. And it was fun. I think the only guy we missed out on was Mariano Rivera. And he was
untouchable.
He was like the Wizard of Oz. He was the guy behind the curtain. No, he didn't even come out until the actual event started, and we got there a little early. So, a lot of fun. It was definitely cool talking to these guys.
Coming up, you'll hear audio from the interviews I did with Doc Gooden, Tino Martinez, Cecil Fielder, Jim Larritz, and the one and only Andy Pettit. But before we do that, Scott, think back 20 years ago. You were what, like 57 at that time?
And, I was 43 years old. I was going through my second divorce.
Yep. What were you doing on the night of October 26, 1996?
So I don't remember what I was doing that exact night.
Besides, I do not remember. That was an iconic moment in Yankees history.
I remember the night. Look, it's very simple. I was probably sitting at home in my den on my couch as a sophomore in high school watching the game. That's what I was doing. I guarantee it.
Boring story.
That's exactly what was happening. You know, that series and that year was just so special because it was the beginning. I mean, it was the beginning of everything for the Yankees in that huge run that they had, obviously. For me, I've talked about this in the past and how it was a bittersweet start of the year just because Mattingly, who was my guy, who was my favorite Yankee and my favorite baseball player when I was a kid, had retired. And you know, Tino Martinez, who came over from Seattle, was the guy taking his place. It was very bittersweet at that time. Granted, he won our hearts in the end, but it was a tough pill to swallow, I think, in the beginning of that year. But it just got so magical, and the fact that we went down 2-0 and came back, it was what a hell of a year.
You were in college. You didn't go out and celebrate?
I just told you I was a sophomore in high school.
Oh.
I was 16.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I was probably sitting on my couch in my house doing nothing.
I thought you were in college. Okay.
I would have had a better story, yeah. And I definitely wouldn't have remembered it then.
Well, I was 8 years old. And I remember that whole postseason run, my dad was basically sitting me down in front of the TV watching with me. It's honestly, 96 postseason is the first baseball memories I have. I don't really remember the 95 playoffs, although I assume he did the same thing and put me in front of the TV. But I remember my cousin was sleeping over my house on the night of game 6 because I believe it was a Saturday night. And we were both sitting on the floor of my living room, and my dad was going bonkers when Girardi hit that triple. Like, I remember it vividly, Girardi's triple, and watching that on my TV in my living room. Amazing memories. And I honestly cannot believe it was 20 years ago. I feel old as hell. I can only imagine how you feel.
But well, I can feel old for the next, what, 4 or 5 years when we talk about all these championships.
Right. Yeah. Two years from now is going to be the 98, and then the 99, then the 2000.
Can't it's funny because that, I actually do remember where I was when I was in college. That's kind of funny. I do remember where I was for all those series, but not 96. I just have to assume it was like every other night in high school. You know, you're at home. But
I can't wait for 2029 when we do the 20th anniversary of the 2009 championship.
That'll be good stuff. Alex Rodriguez will be a king in New York again.
There we go. All right, guys. So enjoy these interviews, and we will talk to you guys next Tuesday. This is Bronx Pinstripes with the one and only Doc Gooden. Doc, what was it like seeing all your 1996 teammates on Saturday at the stadium?
It was great to see those guys. And one thing that hit me right away, I was talking to Darryl about, when you play on those guys, you don't realize the talent that's on that team. And a lot of guys have sacrificed the egos and put it aside. Because we had a lot of guys on the team that could have been starters on other teams. Put the egos aside and came for one common goal. You saw those guys, everybody's doing well. We're talking about families and things were complimenting. It's great.
So you were on the 86 Mets, a group of young players that won the World Series. At what point in 1996 did you think that those Yankees could win the World Series?
You know, when I went to the Yankees in 96, it was my first year over there. Once we started making trades, I thought we had enough guys to be in it. Darryl joined us during the season, Trey Sesselfelder, and Tim Raines already in. Some guys started coming together. Gene and those guys started maturing, Pettit, pitching well. I feel we had a shot. I said, if we get to the playoffs, we have a chance to win it.
So was it special, extra special for you that you were able to win it in 96 with Darryl Strawberry, one of your best friends, oldest friends, who you also won it with the Mets in 86?
Oh, definitely. Those type of things don't happen every day. And the win with Darryl, I remember we had a conversation about we left the Mets. We both wanted to stay and play our whole career at the Mets. But unfortunately, they wanted to cut ties, and they had it right too, I understand. And go to the Yankees our first year and have Darryl there and win it with him, be probably the only two players to win with both teams. It's a great accomplishment and a great honor.
All right, final question. I got to ask you about that no-hitter. What was it like? Take us through that night. I know you were not going to come out of that game after even 200 pitches.
I'm glad you said that because I remember me and Mel was talking about that. And Mel was there. Mel's a good friend of mine. He's my pitching coach. And I had the privilege to have Mel for the Mets and Yankees. And actually that day, that pitch no hit, I was supposed to fly home with my dad who was having open heart surgery the next day. But that morning, I figured he probably wanted me to pitch. So I called Joe Torre, who's the manager. Told him I was coming in to pitch. He tried to talk me into going home. I said, no, I'll be there. And remember the first three innings of that game, I was standing between the walkway, between the dugout and the clubhouse, trying to decide if I made the right decision or not. At times, tearing up, thinking about my dad. The sixth inning, I remember looking at the scoreboard to see who was coming up from Seattle. And you see no runs, no hits, no errors. My heart started pumping. And then I was able to put my dad inside and just focus on the game. And the pitch that no-hitter and the team was carrying me off the field, just reminiscing about the year before being suspended. My dad going to make it, it's going to be okay. Kind of found he ended up passing away a couple days later.
Yeah.
But knowing that, the last game we saw his pitch was that no-hitter that made it that much special.
We are here with Tino Martinez. Tino, what was it like for you to be back on the field with your 1996 teammates? It was the start of a dynasty.
Yeah, it was a great time. You know, I see some guys over the years here and there, but a lot of guys I haven't seen in 20 years. So it was great to see those guys again and talk about the 1996 team and what we accomplished. Great deal.
Can you imagine 20 years later that you guys, that those 90s teams are one of the most beloved teams in Yankees history? Could you have imagined that when you were playing in those days that it would ever come to that?
No, we did not. You know, we played it. We won the World Series in 96, and then we won, obviously, 3 out of 4 after that, and it was a great accomplishment, but we never realized what we were doing in the meantime. But looking back now, we realized it was a pretty big accomplishment.
So do you ever think about the fact that you were on first base when Derek Jeter had his first hit? And it just so happened that was the first time, I'm assuming, that you guys met. And then all these years later, you're two very good friends, from what I understand.
That was the first time we met. Absolutely. Yeah. He got the base hit. I heard a lot about him as a top prospect, so I congratulated him. And then, I never knew we'd be teammates and win World Series and become really close friends.
All right, final question. It was hard for you coming over to the Yankees in 96, replacing a legend in Don Mattingly. Take us through what it was like for you and how you sort of, I know you struggled in the first couple months, how you got over that hump.
Well, it was tough, obviously, early on. Donnie was a great player here, a legend, and I knew what I was in for. So I got off to a slow start, and fortunately I had great teammates that just kept stood behind me, kept working with me, and got me going. It took some time, but fortunately it worked out well.
This is Bronx Pinstripes with Jim Larritz. Jim, what was it like for you to be back on the Yankee Stadium field 20 years after the 96 celebration, or after the championship, for the celebration?
No, it was great. You know, we really haven't been together like that since Joe Torre's dinner when we had the 10-year anniversary. So it's a lot of those guys we haven't seen for 10 years. And it was just really neat. One of the things that's great about baseball, when you win a championship together, you might not see each other for 10 or 15 years. And when you do, it just seems like yesterday. And I think that's what it was for a lot of guys.
You were on the 95 team that had a heartbreaking loss. What was the mindset going into that 96 season? There was a lot of change in the organization. Obviously, Mattingly left, Buck Showalter left. What was it like for you guys going into that 96 season?
Well, you know, for me, I was the most tenured Yankee that year, you know, which was kind of surprising. It was just one of those things when Joe Torre came in, we had already started building. And he was able to just kind of bring us together one by one and make sure all 25 guys were involved and that, you know, nobody was left out. And I think the way he did that with injuries, with Cone's aneurysm, he really made us feel like, you know what, whoever we bring in next will be ready to do the job. Let's just do this together. And, you know, talking to Chris Chambliss the other night, one thing Chris said, out of all the teams he's ever coached, that was the most unselfish team that he ever coached. And I think that's why we were so close together.
Bronx Pinstripes here with the one and only Cecil Fielder. Cecil, 1996, I know, was your first, your only World Series championship. Looking back on that, what does it mean to you that you were able to accomplish that after you came over here in the middle of the season?
Well, I always say, you know, 1996, 20 years ago, it's crazy that it's gone past that fast. But, you know, we'll always be champions here in the city of New York. You know, no matter what, you know, we're the first of the four, and everybody always remembers that team. So, you know, I love it because coming here, now that I don't have to play and I can just run around the city, people stop me, hey, thanks for 96. They always say that. So, like I said, we'll be champions forever.
So you came over from a last-place Detroit team. You had such good success in Detroit. Coming over to a first-place Yankees team, how was Joe Torre able to integrate you into the team, and what was that like for you coming into the middle of a pennant race?
It was easy. All he had to do was put me in the lineup. I mean, it's very easy. Joe had a very easy job. He had a great group of guys that wanted to go out there and play hard every day. Mariano used to have a saying, we play today, we win today, that's it. And that was basically our motto. If we was going out there to play, we wanted to win.
All right, so I want to ask you about the celebration the night of. Out of all those Yankees teammates, who do you think celebrated the hardest?
I can't remember that.
So maybe it was
well.
You.
No, we all did. I don't think nobody went to sleep that night. Right, I think it was one of those nights that everybody, matter of fact, I don't think we came out of the clubhouse till 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning anyway before we got the party started. So we just had a blast. I mean, you know, Charlie, Rock, the kid, Jeter, you know, Tino, everybody. We was all together going out and we had a good time.
All right, one final question for you. Let's just say you had a great night, maybe hit 2 home runs. What are you going to have as a post-game meal?
That didn't never matter. Whatever they had to eat, shit, I was going to eat it. But that never, I mean, I was going out there to play, trying to get somebody every day. So that was just a plus if I did.
We are here with the one and only Mr. Andy Pettitte. First, I got to give you some credit. You are the best dressed here. So nice job on that. You're the only one wearing a tie.
I think I'm a little overdressed. The tie's about to come off.
Yeah,
somebody told me to wear a tie, and I'm not very happy about it right now.
Well, I'm wearing shorts, so there we go. What was it like for you on Saturday with all your teammates from 1996, 20 years later? I'm sure the time has gone by in the blink of an eye.
It has. It's always a thrill to be able to get back together with the guys. A lot of them I haven't seen in probably 20 years, you know, so... That was fun to be able to get together with them, to get to ever be able to see them. You know, what's crazy is even if we've had 10, 15, 20 years of not seeing each other, when you get back together, it's like you never left each other. It really is crazy. So it was a lot of fun. I think the Yankees, appreciate them for just doing it. They do everything first class. They do it right. And even being a retired player now, they still treat you wonderful. And it's just a blessing to be able to be part of that organization, that's for sure.
So take us through Game 5 after you did not pitch that well in Game 1. The team lost in the 1996 World Series. Take us through your mindset going into that game.
Yeah, you know, I was a young player. It was only my second year, so I was nervous. There's no doubt about it. But just wanted to be able to go out there and try to relax a little bit. Game 1, I wasn't able to relax. I put so much pressure on myself. And that was the biggest thing. Man, I asked the Lord, I said, man, just help me to be able to relax and go out there and perform. And I got into a great rhythm. I had a great peace, great calmness about myself during the course of that game. Even whenever I got runners on base, I just remember I was able to stay, you know, composed and calm and was able to think clearly, you know, the whole game. And when you're able to do that, it definitely helps you be able to perform.
20 years later, would you say that's the biggest game you've ever pitched?
Oh, 100%. Obviously, that was one of the biggest games of my career. At that point, it was for sure the biggest game. And then, like I've said before, that game has always given me the ability, anytime I went through struggles, because I struggled mightily in Game 1 of the World Series and then had to come back and perform. So anytime I've gone through struggles in my career, I was always able to look back at that game, and that was a big help for me.
You see what the organization is doing right now with all these young prospects. Do you think maybe they have another dynasty in the works, or what do you see with these young kids?
Well, I mean, it's hard to know. I mean, you hope that some of them can pan out. They've got some, you know, guys with an awful lot of talent. One great thing is a couple of them have come up here recently in the last 3 or 4 days and have had some success. You want to get off to a good start whenever you come up, you know, as a Yankee. And so we'll see. We'll see what happens. I know that's what they're hoping for. You hope to be able to get a nucleus of good young players. And then, of course, they're the Yankees. They're going to go sign free agents. They're going to spend money. And they're going to try to put solid players around them. And then when you're able to do that, you're going to have a chance to compete every year. So hopefully some of these young guys will pan out. And then that's what they'll be able to do is what they did whenever we were young and coming up, always making sure that we had veteran guys around us and had great talent around us. And you got to have talent to win.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it, and go Yankees.